It's time for our weekly chat with National Party MP Christopher Luxon.
Earlier today, I caught up with National MP Christopher Luxon as part of my weekly chat with him. Earlier this week, Parliament passed a unanimous motion declaring severe human rights abuses are occurring in China. While the motion proposed by the ACT Party initially declared genocide, the wording was changed by Labour. I spoke to Luxon about what the declaration meant and how New Zealand should deal with China. We also discussed the government's new 10-year plan for investment in the national rail network. I started by asking Luxon about his involvement in the parliamentary motion.
Yeah, so you might remember last week we had a good chat about China and New Zealand and the relationship and broader geopolitics. And essentially what happened was that all parliamentarians of all parties passed a motion in Parliament essentially saying that, declaring that there were severe human rights abuses happening around the Uyghur situation in Xinjiang, and that was a common, essentially all parties and all MPs signed up for that and declared that motion as parliamentarians, not as politicians or representatives of their individual parties, but as parliamentarians across New Zealand.
Is there anything you hope to get out of this? What do you expect its impact to be?
Well, look, I think, as we talked about before, is that New Zealand has a relationship with lots of trading partners and countries that we do business with and we have relationships with. China's no different. China's actually a relationship where New Zealand has done a lot of firsts with in the world. It's obviously become our largest trading partner. But there's a maturity to the relationship on both sides, where they don't like things that we do and we don't necessarily like things that they do. But you should be able to have a degree of depth to the relationship where you can express those things. And so, that was essentially New Zealand expressing its dissatisfaction and issue that it had around the human rights abuses that we're seeing in that situation. So, that's the reality of it. We should be able to express things to each other. We won't always agree with each other. New Zealand lives in a world of very hard geopolitics, and we walk quite a soft path, but with that comes huge influence because of the way we do things. We walk a path that is actually about an independent foreign policy where we will act in our own interests. So where we have areas of commonality and cooperation, we'll work hard in building that opportunity up, but also where we have areas of differences, we'll stand up and say so.
Given that Parliament has now agreed that China is committing human rights abuses, do you think any tangible policies or actions against China, any sort of sanctions, some of the more aggressive action we've seen from countries like Canada or the US or even Australia, first of all, do you think New Zealand will do something like this? And second of all, do you think that could be a good thing?
Well, look, I think those are decisions ultimately for the government, and I defer to them because, they have access to a lot more information than, say, someone like me sitting in opposition, and those are courses of action for them to work through. But I think, the reality is that New Zealand has these relationships require maturity, and they require an ability for us to be able to have real and honest conversations with each other, and I think that's what's happened here this week.
And there was one other aspect to this issue I wanted to touch on. ACT had initially put forwards the motion. They were condemning China's genocide, but Labour wanted to change this to human rights abuses. What's your take on the change here? Would you have preferred to, like ACT, have been condemning a genocide?
I think we got the balance right here, because I know it's very popular to use words that, sometimes our words are being demeaned, and the reality is genocide is a very high legal threshold and test, and it's actually a global sort of standard or test that you've really got to have huge evidence for before you start throwing words around. And I think it's really dangerous when we start throwing words around and we don't back it up with actually the real substance that word has been used in the correct way. And so, if you think about it, I think New Zealand's only declared genocide 3 times off the back of the Holocaust in World War II. I think off the back of Pol Pot and I think more recently around Rwanda. And so there is a very high legal threshold and global test and threshold around using the word genocide. It's not something just to be thrown around lightly. And I think on balance, we got the language right here. And the fact that we could get all of the parties in the parliament to agree to that language says that, that's a good sign.
Moving on, one of the government's biggest announcements this week was their plans for New Zealand Rail. What's National's take on this?
Yeah, look, I mean, the real issue we had with this one was that essentially, you know, you and all your listeners, you know, when you go to the service station, fill up your car and fill it up with petrol, hopefully you'll move more to EVs, is my wish, but that aside. But, you know, when you're actually paying road user charge and fuel tax, a piece of that price of fuel is actually tax, and that goes into a pool of money, and that is purely hypothecated to be able to keep our roads safe, you know, have safety upgrades to expand our roads or to maintain our roads. And essentially what's happened is the government has actually taken the money out of that fund and actually putting it into rail. And the problem with rail is that it's actually a really important part of our transport network, and we should always have a multi-modal approach to transport across New Zealand, and we need to drive certainly much more into public transport. We certainly need to drive much more into sustainable transport and emissions at lower levels of emissions, etc. But the real challenge here is that in many cases, a lot of our rail networks really sub-scaled and not actually and subsidised in some way. So if you think about the new service from Hamilton to Auckland, well, the reality is, yes, you pay your ticket price for that, but the government is underwriting that by several hundred dollars per passenger per trip, because economically it just doesn't stack up as a proposition, and it's not got enough people obviously using it, and the service is probably too slow as a train service anyway. And so our core issue is that they've taken the money out of what was designed for road maintenance and that people are paying for through their petrol prices and put that money into rail. Historically what you do is you'd fund rail straight out of the government budget. You don't steal the road money to fund the rail project.
Is it not balanced out by the fact that trains will also start paying into the fund?
It might be, but the problem is there's not enough scale in the train network. The rail network in New Zealand is quite difficult, because if you just zoom out a bit, you know, we've got a country the same size as Great Britain and Japan, but we don't have 70 or 130 million people living in it. We've got 5 million people in it. So very large parts of it are very critical for freight, and actually there's a big opportunity to use rail more for freight in order to take heavy trucks off the roads, much better sustainability profile. Likewise, but then there is very few pieces where the actual passenger network actually works or is profitable or sustainable, essentially. And so it's, you know, yes, it might be contributing something, but there's no doubt about it. The net picture is that they're taking money off roads and putting it into rail. And that's taking it off motorists who've paid that tax. And the risk is we don't get the safety, road safety managed properly and roads maintained properly. And in this country, you know, you've seen our traffic deaths have been stubbornly high and continuing to grow each year despite all our best efforts. And so road safety is quite an important thing.
Other than how it's been paid for, are you broadly happy with the proposal and happy to see the government expanding the rail network?
Yeah, well, the point is, again, you've got to be really clear about it in the context of a strategy. I personally think, you know, linking Tauranga and Hamilton and Auckland together as an upper North Island sort of golden triangle, where you could, in theory, live in a place like Hamilton and actually commute into Auckland much more seamlessly and at, you know, at greater speed than what's happening today and with better services. So there's no doubt about it. I personally think that rail has quite a big role to play in that, in linking those three centres together. We also have some really challenging geography. If you think about New Zealand compared to, say, New South Wales or Victoria, where there's lots of space to expand north, south and west, with our island profile and our narrow isthmus through Auckland, it's quite challenging. And so, you know, having good rail networks to link to ports and to the cities to connect people together is a good thing. You know, it's just that, but we've also wasted a hell of a lot of money in New Zealand believing in rail, and you've had some politicians being their pet projects and pet things, and you end up wasting hundreds of millions of dollars that could be better spent on other things.
One of your biggest critiques of the government, as I've spoken to you over the past couple of months, is that they don't get things done. But recently it seems that they might be getting things done. They've planned a huge overhaul of the health system, they've introduced the review of local government, they've just got this plan for rail. Does it look like the Labour government is doing more now?
No, it's very kind of you to think so, Noah, but I honestly disagree. I mean, I think there's a very big difference between making announcements about announcements that are going to come or declarations that you don't follow through with any action. You know, you can take anything across the piece at the moment. The healthcare reforms are interesting, right? I mean, there's no doubt about it. Our healthcare system isn't perfect. It needs evolution. I think there was a very good build in this healthcare reform around creating essentially a public health agency to deal with public health issues at a national level. But actually what's going to happen here is that they're just adding a heap of bureaucracy. You know, whether it's that, you know, you can talk about mental health. You know, there was a big pronouncement about the spend and the announcement about what we're going to do on mental health. Well, for young people and adolescents trying to access mental health services, it's gone from something like 17 days out to 24 days. So it's another week. And if you're a parent or a young person who's struggling with mental health and really needing help, and let's be clear, 9% of New Zealanders, you know, are dealing with mental health each and every week under some distress. And so the point is, you know, we really need to be able to get that access to those services available to people. But if you don't have targets, and if you don't have goals, and if you don't publish them, and you don't talk about your progress against them, and you don't release reports around that stuff, which is what's happening in the mental health space, and you try and hide the numbers because they're not successful, or you don't like what the chair of the Mental Health Foundation says about that stuff, again, you're not getting things done. I use that as an example, but it's just illustrative, I think, of a government. Just because you're announcing something and then you're saying you're going to put a big budget number to it, and when you haven't spent the money, 4 years down the road, that's a real problem.
That was National MP Christopher Luxon on Parliament's motion declaring human rights abuses are occurring in China and the government's 10-year plan for investment in the national rail network.
That was National Party MP Christopher Luxon. You're listening to The Wire on 95 BFM.